Okay, we will now convene the October 8, 2013 City of Daytona Beach Special Magistrate Proceedings. At the outset, I've reviewed the minutes of September 10, 2013 and approved them.
Thought I might have marked them up, but nope, they're here to go.
All right, do we have any announcements before we start with the hearing of this morning's cases?
I don't believe so, sir. I don't know of any that are in compliance that aren't marked on the agenda this morning. I'm not sure.
I don't see any marked on the agenda.
No.
Okay. All right, will all those representatives for the City of Daytona Beach who are testifying this morning's proceedings please step forward to be sworn?
Solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you have provided is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
All right. Case number one, Mark Petrain. Sit down here for the respondent.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Your name will be sworn.
Mark Petrain.
Can you raise your right hand, please, sir?
Sure.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, I see that we are here for the determination of a compliance date. Mark Petrain must obtain permits within 30 days of the date of this order, which was entered August 15, 2013, and return to the special magistrate meeting scheduled for October 8 for determination of a compliance date. Did we obtain the permits we were supposed to obtain?
No, I tried to. When I listed everything I wanted to do, I'm going to tear this house down in the next 6 months.
Hang on a second.
Sure.
Let me see if we can perhaps short circuit some of this.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. Now we're ready.
Okay. Forgive me. I might have jumped ahead. All right. We have Mr. Petrain here. He was supposed to have permits within 30 days of August 15. We're supposed to be setting a compliance date. Mr. Petrain's already indicated to me the permits were not obtained, so why don't I let the city bring us up to speed as far as where we are and what we need to be doing.
Hold on. I'll ask if the staff can address the, if I have a moment. Let me talk with staff just a moment. We
can. While they are doing that, I received a piece of correspondence from Tracy Remark regarding Bishop's Tavern, dated October 6, 2013. This was dropped off at my office. I did not get an opportunity to speak to Ms. Remark. She just dropped it off and left.
Okay.
But in any event, I would need to be wary about ex parte communications.
Sir.
So I will now turn that over to the
Madam
Secretary, and she can make a note that I've received that communication
right.
And current passes on to the
City of
Daytona Beach.
Okay, did say that.
Okay.
All right. Next, because I don't see anything on the agenda with regards to Bishop's Tavern. So, in any event, I reviewed it. And we're not providing it to you. Okay, we've got ready for Mr. Petrain here.
Okay. Yes. We're ready to proceed. This is before the board on the matter. It actually has two items here. We're discussing here 33 North Peninsula Drive. The inspector is Danny Garcia. I'm Anthony Jackson for the City of Daytona Beach. We indicated here an action to be taken was determination of a compliance date, actually on the order itself. The order required him to get a permit and that we would make the determination for compliance. At this point, Mr. Petrain hasn't done anything. The staff is insisting on him obtaining a permit. There was some discussion of requesting a fine today, but instead what the staff is asking to give him an, 1 week to obtain a permit, and if permits are not obtained, then the staff will be requesting that a fine be imposed.
Okay. So the relief the city's looking for this morning is to give Mr. Petrain 1 week to get a permit and what now?
I'm sorry? 30 days?
The relief the city's looking for today is to give Mr. Petrain 1 week to get a permit and what else?
Oh, and then have it be in compliance in 30 days. He's expressing a demolition, well, have it demolished or otherwise in compliance by the next cutoff.
Okay, Mr. Petrain, come on up, let's talk. The initial citation was working without.
He means here, sir.
He meant there.
Initial violation working without the demo. I assume that means demolition permit. Building, plumbing, electrical permits. Okay. What, if I might ask, what permits were to be obtained to begin with?
Originally, they had started interior and exterior demolition. They needed electrical permits, building permits, and plumbing.
To demolish?
No, it was to repair. Okay. But then he changed his mind and they decided that they were going to demolish. So now they're going to need a demo permit and then have it demolished within the next 30 days, by the next cutoff.
Okay, gotcha. All right, now,
Well, when you say demolish, the back house, right, not the front? Because there's two separate houses.
Well, I was in the impression that he was going to do both houses, but he's still going to need permits for the front then to continue, because as you can see in the pictures, he just took out he did major renovation to the front too. And that wasn't like that from the beginning. It was just cosmetic on the exterior. So he's going to need
two structures on this property. The violation goes to both?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And you were anticipating both structures would be demolished?
That's what I thought we were talking about. Now
I wanted to use the one because the house in the beginning is.
So you were anticipating, is that a place under that?
Go back one.
Is that under construction?
Yeah, that's the one that they did major removing all the exterior and interior.
One place it looks like it's about to fall down. The other place looks like it's in the midst of construction.
So now he's talking about demolishing the rear, which is this one. This is how it wasn't originally.
Okay.
And without permits, they did major.
So that's been gutted. That
yes.
Time. Okay. All right. Let's hear from Mr. Petrain. Mr.
Petrain,
what's the game plan?
I'm doing a deal with the general contractor, AOE. We're going to get plans and build a new house. But
house or houses?
One house. Oh, you can only build one.
Back.
Yeah. No, everything's going to come down eventually.
Everything's coming down.
But the first house is usable. It's going to take us 4 or 5 months before we possibly get to, you know, approvals and ready to build.
Right.
So I might as well use the front house.
Front house habitable?
Yes.
But the plans for the front house to come down nonetheless?
Eventually, yeah. And once we get approvals to build a brand new house, yeah. And we'll get them. I mean, it's.
So you're in the process of taking down the back house.
Right.
You're wanting to occupy the front house
mm-hmm.
until you get your construction permits.
Right.
And that in turn will involve demoing that house. And building a new structure on the property.
Yeah, completely new house.
Okay. All right, well, and where are we on that process right now?
I just made an agreement with the contractor, meeting with his brother-in-law. He's a realtor, mortgage broker, and we're going to actually draw up a contract between the three of us.
All right, and when is the back structure coming down?
Well, I could use it for now, but if it's all right, if I could just slide the front. If I could use it, no.
Okay. Well,
he's going to need a building permit for the front. They
mm-hmm.
put in new windows, and they took
mm-hmm.
out the siding, all the exterior.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to need that for the front. And then for the rear, if he's going to demo, he needs a demo permit for the rear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. With regard to the rear building,
mm-hmm.
are you in the process of tearing it down or rehabbing it?
It was being rehabbed. I fired the contractor. Because, one, he took my money, and he was supposed to get all the permits. He never did. I didn't bother suing him because he's got no money, you know, but maybe I should have done that. I mean, there's a lot of things. I didn't even know this hearing was going to happen because I don't understand how you do things. You know, I've got to get a notice. I wanted Mr. Garcia to come over to the house and say, listen, this is what I want to do here, because it is a little complicated. You know, if we walk around the property, it's made it a lot easier.
Okay. I'm assuming that back structure is not inhabited at all.
No. That's one of the, I've been doing work. He actually started putting plumbing in it. I ripped all of that out, and that's what I've been doing. You know.
Who's occupying the front structure?
I just have somebody living there just so nothing gets stolen. It's actually the front structure. I had a building. I had when I bought the house. That was I had a home inspection and it passed. There's really nothing. It doesn't look that good because the windows were out in the front. But there's actually nothing wrong with that house.
Okay, what is it you're saying needs to be done, Mr. Garcia? What is it has to be done to the front structure to make it habitable?
The front, he just needs to get a building permit for the windows they installed and for the exterior that they. They pulled out some siding, and then they replaced some siding. So he's
he gets a permit for that, and then he's okay in
correct,
the front?
Correct, for the front. Well, but it's all tied in one, so he needs a...
I understand. We're getting there.
Building permit for that.
I'm just trying to get 4 to 5 months down the road in the front structure, if that's even possible. If it's not possible, it's not possible. But I guess what you're telling me is it wouldn't take much to be okay on the front.
Correct.
We understand the back's coming down no matter
what.
Oh,
yeah, no.
We're going to start working on getting the back down.
Yeah.
Because you've got more grandiose plans for the property.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
All right. So I guess what we're talking about, the immediate concerns, then, are how long is it going to take? How long should it take him to get whatever permits he needs to be able to occupy that front structure?
Well, I'm going to have him
talk about some electrical.
Window and the siding. I'd say by next cutoff, he should have a building permit in hand and start on it.
Okay. And how long should it take to demo that back structure?
He can get the permit for the demo and then start on the demo by next cutoff also.
Okay, today is October 8th. Next cutoff would be November 6th. Well, that's pretty close to a full month. We're actually close to 30 days this time.
Okay. And completed for the demo also.
Right. Okay. All right. I'm trying to work with you to the extent I can because you have bigger ambitions for the property, which I'm happy to hear. And so that having been said, it's been suggested you ought to be able to get whatever permits you need, which would then make the front building okay for the time being.
Right.
I emphasize for the time being, because this is all predicated on both of those compliance.
Right.
What I'm talking about is predicated on both of those structures coming down, because I understand that's the nature of the violation to begin with.
Right.
So what we're doing here is an accommodation for you to try to, to allow you to use that front building for the time being. And I'm told you ought to be able to have the back structure torn down by November 6th. So permits, front, demolition, back structure by November 6th, yes or no?
If I have to tear it down, I would, like I said, I'd like to leave it there a while, but...
It's a hazard.
It's been like that too long.
Yeah.
It's an eyesore. We're getting a lot of complaints.
Can't help you there as much as I can. November 6th. Are you going to have it down by November 6th, yes or no?
I have to, yeah. I have no choice.
All right, and let's do this. Okay, it sounds as though what I'm trying to do is fashion some sort of an interim order. What did I hear you say? It'd be 4 to 5 months before you can tear everything down and start construction?
Well, we have to get plans on the house. It's going to take time. I didn't even start with an architect with the design, get approvals.
And we're planning on doing this?
Oh, absolutely. There's nothing else I could do with the property.
Demos are just a demo. I don't. All he needs to do is he needs to get a building permit for the front part.
Right.
That's for the windows that are already installed and to... continue finishing the front.
I'm not concerned about that. I'm looking for guarantees. I take it as word, next thing you know, doesn't flip this house and we find ourselves in the same situation here, sitting here with an order leading us to nowhere.
in the rear, he gets a demo permit and demolishes it.
Mr. Kelch, I guess the concern is, I don't know if we understood what you were saying, but on the rear building, when you were saying the lengthy period of time for demo and
I'm talking lengthier period of time to demolish everything on the property.
Okay, so
the front building and back building.
So the planned project that he has for the front building, I got
that's you. The part in the order that's going to be in the future.
I understand.
The interim part right now is before the next cutoff, he gets permits for the front building and he knocks down the back building.
I understand. Okay.
Okay, here's what we're going to do then. I'm going to order that the respondent have whatever permits will be required to bring the front building into compliance by our next cutoff, which is November 6, 2013. And I'm going to require the respondent to demolish the back building by our next cutoff, which is November 6, 2013. Failing either of those two requirements, respondent be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. And that we are going to continue the ultimate compliance date for the time being. And when, in your estimation, are you going to be at a point where you can give us an idea as to when both structures are going to be down and done?
After I talk to the architect and, you know, get a construction loan, I don't know how.
Well, here's what we're going to do. And I'm going to schedule this matter again on the November 12, 2013 mm-hmm. meeting for a status report.
Okay.
So that we can then discuss the ultimate compliance of the property mm-hmm. and where Mr. Petrain stands as far as his efforts in that toward that goal.
All right.
Okay?
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Good
okay.
luck to you.
All right. Thank you. Thanks.
Case number two, Randall K. Nealon. Yes, sir. If you would please state your name and be sworn.
K. Randall Nealon.
Raise your hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
All right. Determination of a compliance state.
Mr. Kelcher.
Roof, exterior surfaces, structural members, exterior doors. 145 Kingston Avenue. Order of noncompliance. Continued it from August to October. Why did we do that?
Why did we continue from August to October? Do we call? Okay. There was a request for him to get permits initially. He had gotten the permits, but then he had a medical situation that arose. I think he needed to get an operation of some type.
All right, we're here to establish a compliance state. Does the city want to be heard on this matter, or should I go directly to the respondent?
City's position is that respondent should be in compliance by next cutoff. This respondent has made very little, has done very little, made very little progress. And the city believes that he can be in compliance by next cutoff.
All right, and he was originally notified to be in compliance by order of July. Okay, let's hear from the respondent.
Well,
let's say Mr. Nealon.
That would be me. All right, at the last meeting, as we sat here and discussed it, I thought we decided 90 days. extend or would be extended.
Okay.
However, after the meeting was over, y'all decided to schedule it for the October meeting. I was not in on that. Actually, not aware of it until I got my letter to respond in October. And counting Saturdays, Sundays, and holidays, that's not 90 days, that's 56 days. So anyway, not knowing about it, I said, well, we're going to have to pick up the schedule, which we are doing. If you've been out there, there's been a lot of work done, legally with permits. And 1 month and 2 days ago, 3 o'clock in the morning, Sunday night or Monday morning, I had a severe stroke. It's got my left side about with a 30 to 40% loss.
Sorry,
I burst a blood vessel. Well, never gone through one before, and they're no fun. But regrouping, doing pretty good, and still got all the contractors, some of them fail to show and do what they say, but whatever, I'm working on that too. And the place is coming along. Actually, probably in the next 30 days, the original date that I had to, it's going to be really looking good. In reading today's you have on the agenda, it says plumbing and electrical. I have not even pulled permits for that as of yet until all the outer and the roofs and the doors and everything is neat and clean and nice and ready to go. Then we'll pull the plumbing and electrical permits. But as far as saying I don't have a building permit, I do have a building permit and have not had my inspections done because the work's not done. I've been thrown for a loss, but I still got people working with me. Basically, you know, I have two other businesses. I work 14 to 16 hours a day, but then after work, including last night and Saturday, we worked on it pretty good, got a little bit more done. But I got the contractors coming back, supposedly this weekend for 2 days. That tree is still there because the tree guy has failed to show in 3 months. Excuses about his forklift not working, or his cherry picker not working. But anyhow, that'll be gone. But slowly it's coming along. And in that, the original date, according to my schedule, which would be your next meeting, you know, I will call Mr. Stenson and ask him to come and take a look at it.
Where are we on completion?
With plumbing, with electrical?
You've already indicated to me you don't have a plumbing or electrical permit.
No, I haven't touched it.
So I'm assuming most of the work you're talking about is structural or cosmetic.
Yeah.
And so that having been said, when you keep saying by the next cutoff we should be in pretty good shape.
Well, that's what I'm scheduled for, at least as of our last meeting when I thought we were scheduled for. I thought I was granted 90 days. I said,
let's forget the history. Let's focus on what work is done.
Okay.
And what work is left to be done. I'm more of a realist here. So what percentage of the work would you estimate is left to be done?
According to the original schedule, the exterior will be fine, dandy, and actually it's been not looking bad now, but you know, there was some rot and some bad wood, and 90% has been redone. And according to our original agreement last meeting, that work will all be done. I will call John for an inspection in within 30 days.
And then that just leaves.
And then then we'll go to work on the plumbing and the electrical. And I assume I have more time on that if the house doesn't represent a threat to the community, which it really doesn't. And it's a nice looking little house.
All right. How much? What is the extent of? What's the extent of the plumbing and electrical work that needs to be done? How extensive is it?
It's already been electric and wired. 30 years ago, it was electrically rewired, but I assume that has to be updated to the new code. And
let's
plumbing, basically, there is none.
Because you might find out there's less that needs to be done than you may think. So just a second.
Correct. Go ahead.
As far as the electrical and the plumbing, that's a complete inclusive job. The entire interior has got it.
That was done
30
years ago.
The entire interior of the property has got it. It's a shell.
30 years ago.
gutted 30 years ago. What do you mean gutted? It's been sitting there in an empty house for 30 years?
Right, I used it for storage for my two apartment buildings. Didn't I initially tell you why I bought the house?
I can't recall. So in any event, the interior is gutted, so now it's going to have to be, what, reconstructed?
No, drywalled.
Okay. And the and I guess the electrical and the plumbing, your fixtures and what have you, going to have to be replaced?
The entire interior of the house has to be redone completely. There's no drywalls. It's studs and miscellaneous wires. The entire interior.
Farmer Electric completely rewired the house. Well, new 200 amp service.
Well, your contractor pass inspection. I don't care where it comes from or how it happens. Okay. So.
Okay. Right. Well, I have extra time on plumbing and electrical.
Okay. How much extra time are you asking for?
6 months.
I'm not giving you 6 months.
Why not? It's a closed house. I'm going to go back to my original explanation on why I bought the house, because the police department or the city would do nothing about a drug house. Drugs, prostitutes, everything went on in there. I approached the lady that owned the house, you know, to shut it down. She said no, they were going to kick him out. It was her son living in it. She lived in New York and was going to retire in it. Well, finally, the kid got arrested and went away. She came down. It was deplorable. No water, no electricity. They were defecating in a pail. And she came back to me and she said, does your offer still stand on the house? And my answer was yes, because I'm trying to rent apartments down the street and get Kingston to look at very nice. In fact, as I've explained to John and I explained to you at the beginning, I'm the guy that maintained, that cuts the grass, weed whack, and edges, what's left of the sidewalk there, from Beach Street to US 1. For 40 years, I have done that. Compliments to the city. Trying to keep the neighborhood looking a little bit better, I bought a $29,000 house to get the dirt bags off of the street. The police have been there zero times in 31 years. I ended the problem. The city would never hasn't even done that. There's a house across the street from me right now that's been taken over by the county for taxes, which is absolutely deplorable. There are several other houses on the street by far more deplorable than mine. So the way I look at it, and trying to keep my apartments rented with decent people, I have to try to keep the street looking good, which I have done for 31 years. In the meantime, I have also asked our city to repave Kingston Avenue and bring it up there. And I actually showed you pictures.
Okay, first off, I do recall this. You told me this before, so let's cut to the chase.
Okay, cut to the chase.
How much time should it take to do the plumbing and electrical work that you tell me needs to be done?
6 months.
I heard from you. I'm now going to hear from the city.
To physically do the work, he probably can have it done with a contractor working diligently in a month. However, mind you, this is the second time this case has been addressed on this property. And this okay, we keep asking for more time. This property owner has been given quite a bit of time, not just on this case, because this is a repeat case for the same violations. So the city is adamant on not giving a whole lot more time on this.
Okay, well.
In fact, Mr. Vakelj, if I may add, the supervisor said that the maximum time that the city's desire as a maximum would be 60 days, and because of the fact that this has been going on since May.
Who said that?
And even as, you know, we appreciate all of the things that Mr. Nealon says about what he's done in history, but it's been 31 years of not being a very useful condition, and here we are now doing something, and we'd like it completed. And 60 days is a reasonable time, and that's what the staff is asking for.
Okay, can somebody give me an opinion on the basis of the quantum of electrical and plumbing work that remains to be done? How much should it reasonably require? Not if we drop the world and focus every contractor on this house, but in the ordinary course of events, how long should it take to finish or do whatever electrical or plumbing work apparently needs to be done? Can somebody give me an opinion on that? Free of any punitive measures, any history. I'm not getting it from him, and I'm not getting it from y'all either. So can somebody just give me the skinny on what it's going to take to finish the electrical and plumbing?
The work would have to be done by the contractor and then inspected by the city.
Right.
Realistically, I figure 30 days for the work, 30 days for the battery of inspections that needed to be done.
So you're telling me... All right.
Mr. McCutcheon, just so... Because we do have a neighboring property owner that wanted to be heard, I don't know if you... I know you try not to get things overlapped too much, but we'd like to call and just have her be heard on the issues of the diligence.
Neil, have a seat for a moment.
I'd be glad to.
To hear from, and then I'll decide what I'm going to do. Hey, somebody else want to be heard on this matter?
Okay, yes, the city would call Cindy Cassavant. Is that correct?
Yep.
State your name, please.
Cynthia Casavant.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Good morning. I have lived adjacent to this property for over 10 years. No one's ever lived in it. Obviously, the inside's empty. The outside's not maintained. There are drug addicts in it. Prostitutes bring their johns into it. We've had the police there many, many, many times. It seems Mr. Nealon chooses to mow the lawn up and down Kingston the day after he's cited by code over his property. In doing so, he usually mows down somebody's flowers, their trees, but he doesn't do it on a regular basis. He doesn't maintain his property on a regular basis. That property is a nuisance. Yes, the one across the street is also a nuisance, but Mr. Nealon's property has been painted to appear better than it actually is. It's full of gang graffiti on the inside of it, and nothing's been done. He was cited 3 years ago. Nothing was done. Again, he's been cited this year, and I guess more aggressively, so he has started to take some action. But mostly, Mr. Nealon has done nothing. He won't sell it. He wants an unreasonable amount of money for the piece of property, but he's done nothing. He hasn't maintained it. He hasn't kept it secure so others aren't using it for illegal activity. And it's really getting to be a problem on Kingston for the rest of us with property who values are dropping by the day. We don't need something like this next door. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. That's good. So, Mr. Nealon, come on back up.
May I respond to that, please?
No.
To hers.
No, I already heard your speech. I heard your speech twice. You reminded me that you'd given it to me earlier.
Well,
and I'm more interested in getting this property into compliance.
Well, there's way more to this story, which I intend to bring to the fore. Looks like that we're going to have to, I may have to take legal action against this woman.
Well, that's always your prerogative, but that having been said, right now, what is it you're telling me is going to be done by the next cutoff? All the structural
work? In 30 days, the outside will be beautiful, the yard will be beautiful, period.
Are you telling me everything but the plumbing and electrical?
Correct. And the drywall and, you know, making... I have to remodel the inside after getting the outside done. That'll take more than the next 30 days. I'll have the outside done, which is, by the way, it was painted 3 years ago, by the way. As far as derelicts and prostitutes and anybody being in there, I've had one break-in where they smashed in the front door.
I'm trying to ask you, Mr. Inspector, how a compassionate order to actually accomplish something here.
Well, if it looks like a nice house, then I should have time on the inside.
I'm trying to glean from Mr. Nealon what's expected to be done within 30 days and trying to get some sort of demarcation so I'll know whether or not he's complied or not. He keeps talking about the exterior. What does that mean to you as far as...
That means like if any normal citizen...
Just a second. When I'm over here looking at him and talking to him,
okay,
you don't
excuse
have to
me.
Talk.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Excuse me.
All right, go ahead, Mr. Inspector.
The exterior work that needs to be done includes, but not limited to, finishing the porch, the ground, the roof, the pillars, these windows, the roof flashing right above that window is all raw. You can see that wood right there is raw. It's not finished. There's just a piece of metal flashing on top. That's another side view. This, you're looking at the west side of the property right now. This is a close-up of the porch.
Yeah, ceiling.
Be quite honest with you, I don't know what that concrete is doing there, but it's not supposed to look like that. These are the windows. These pictures were taken yesterday.
Okay.
Clearly, that's wood right around the windows. That's a painted board over a window. This is, he removed a portion of the fence, yet the fence is still there. This is exterior surfaces in the rear by the slider. It's not sealed. There's gaps. He's blocked off the broken panes and painted them over. There's another painted over broken window. This used to be a balcony above all of this back. He removed the top part. I really don't know what it's called now. Like I said, there's roof work on the entire roof.
Okay, good enough. All right, I'm going to order that the respondent be in compliance by November 6, 2013, with all exterior work to be done, which is to include and not be limited to the windows, decks, screens, roof, exterior surfaces, structural members pertaining to the exterior or supporting the exterior, exterior doors, general exterior structure, and that the property is to be mowed, what have you, and secure. All of those items are to be completed by November 6, 2013, or the respondent will be returned for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. With regard to the completion of the work, the plumbing, the electrical, and the completion of the interior, I'm giving the respondent until December 4, 2013, that's about 60 days from today, to have those matters completed.
Ooh, that's too tight for me.
If that's too tight for you, then you let the inspector know, because if he reports back to me that, yeah, you know, Mr. Nealon's really busting his butt trying to get this done, but he's not going to be able to get it done in time, then I'll be happy to consider additional time.
Greatly appreciated.
Unless and until I hear that from him, though, what we're going to do is we're going to ask that that be done by December 4, 2013, which means the property will then be fully in compliance, or the respondent be returned for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay, there we go. We're going to bring this to some closure.
Okay.
There you go. And so we get to work with you on these. And then, like I say, I've been told 2 months ought to be plenty of time to take care of the rest of the work once you've got the exterior out of the way. If the inspector reports back to me that you're working hard at it, but you're going to need additional time, then I'll be happy to consider additional time.
Thank you,
sir.
Because
on the other hand, all I hear is foot dragging, not doing this, not doing that. Then that might be a matter, but I don't want to talk about that because I'm an optimist. So, there you go. Good luck to you.
Okay, thanks, sir.
You're welcome. Case number 3, Mayan Ocean Waters, LLC.
Good morning.
Good morning. Can you state your names, please?
My name is Michael Yebba. And
can you spell your last name for me?
Y-E-B-B-A.
Okay. And
Don Ziegler. Z-E-I-G-L-E-R.
Both raise your right hands, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
All right, gentlemen.
Good morning.
We were here last, as I recall. Not as I recall, as my minutes reflect. I recall somewhere. We are continuing the determination of compliance date until the October 8th meeting. My response would provide a structural engineer's assessment, report, and timeline to the city. So, picking up where we left off, has the engineer's assessment, report, and timeline to the city been provided?
Unfortunately, Mr. Kelch.
Here's the engineer's
report. Okay. I was going to say that Mr. Garrett, the building official, is not up here yet. They're going to go get him, but we did send for a copy of it from him, and This appears to be it. I have not looked at it or reviewed it. I think it was sent last night based on my conversation with respondent. And they were having some problems printing it this morning, so it was printed downstairs. So apparently this is what's been received. Just looking at it, it says it's an engineering report. I have not read it at all. And if I can provide it, yes.
We've been hustling trying to get the engineer's report and schedules and everything together, and we sent them out last night to Mr. Garrett, and it was late. It was probably just right after 5 o'clock. And we're trying to print everything up this morning, and our computer system crashed just last night, so I couldn't get on a printer to print anything or on the Internet to download the stuff. So we're a little embarrassed this morning not having everything we need to bring with you, but we did send it to Mr. Garrett last night. And that email also includes a schedule for completion for the entire project, everything included, and also pictures of some of the progress that we've got so far. So,
repairs and retrofits of the current scope of work being undertaken at the hotel has been designed by others.
Yeah, there's a different engineer for the columns and balcony work that we're doing. And that's already under permit. We're already working on both those items. There's one permit that encompasses both the columns and the balconies.
Well, spalling is a condition that occurs from the separation of the concrete and the steel.
How do you stop it once it started?
Well, what we're doing is we're replacing the spalled areas. We're chipping out and examining all the steel that's being inspected.
How do you replace the steel, or do you?
Yep, we
In
do.
Some cases you do. If
we
it's,
do, we tie back.
Yeah, there's a percentage on the steel. If so much of the steel is gone, it's all
based on
the engineering. And then there's a corrosion inhibitor that's put on any existing steel, and any new steel is then drilled and epoxied into the slab. It's a complete process that the engineer designs.
Residents of loose concrete posing an imminent threat to pedestrians and cars below. Is that what he says?
I believe so.
And that's why we've had to do barricades and safety precautions for life safety.
Yep. And we've also gone through anything that we can get to. We've pulled down any loose concrete that may fall and trying to announce prevention in the meantime. Right now we have, probably 40 rooms off market that we're working on for balconies and all of the columns in that drive-through area.
Sir, may I approach? I have some pictures which we were unable to print, but I have them on my phone if you'd like to see them.
Yeah, we have some more, too.
Okay. appreciate it.
So you have a combination of concrete and metal guardrails?
Yes, on the balconies.
Mr. Kelger, I would like to ask if we can take a 15-minute delay. I mentioned to these guys what our chief building official, as they indicated, just received the report last night. I don't know if he's had an opportunity to read it as far as determining the sufficiency of it for what we feel needs to be done or what he feels needs to be done after going out there. He said he can be up here in the next 10 to 15 minutes. He was on a phone call.
These gentlemen don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting. I'll leave it up to you all.
No, sir.
We don't mind waiting.
All right. Then let him take a look at it, and we'll
see if we can just pass it from there.
We'll let you know if we'll get these gentlemen back up.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. If you'll have a seat for just a moment. Let me see All right, we'll return to case number three. Case number four, Joseph L. Owen. Is there anyone here for the respondent? Mr. Owen?
Good morning. My name is Matt Larson.
Okay. Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
And Mr. Larson, what's your affiliation with Mr. Owen or this property?
Good morning. I'm Joe's neighbor. I have called many times to complain about the property. However, I am here on his behalf today regarding good news.
Okay, Counselor, you ready for good news regardless of the source?
Yes, in fact, I think I saw some information in my file that would be supportive of exactly what he's about to announce.
Let's let Mr. Larson continue if he's on a roll.
Okay, briefly, as you know, the city of Daytona Beach has a growing problem with the homeless. People are abusing the systems and services which are provided in order to aid those in genuine need of assistance. Lots of homeless people are congregating at different locations, this being one of them. As Joe's neighbor, I got to witness a lot of things. Crime of various sorts and social violations besides code violations. As of Sunday, Joseph has moved away, taken a bus to Oklahoma to be near the VA in Oklahoma and his estranged love. I also have in my possession a copy of a sales agreement for the property. So hopefully this will be the beginning of transfer of ownership for the property. I also have in my possession a limited power of attorney so that myself and Jeannie Mitchum can kick people off the property if they come onto the property. I also have in my possession the form for a 24-hour no trespassing for the site, which I have yet to put up a sign for, but intend to after this hearing. That's the latest of good news that I have.
So aside from change of ownership, what does that do for us as far as compliance is concerned?
Yeah, I was really talking about good news on the next case that is also his. On this case, it doesn't do anything towards compliance, and the staff's position is that he's still in noncompliance and is requesting imposition of a fine. Disturbed peeling paint, missing faded paint, rotted wood, and other things that have been cited. And so the staff is requesting a fine of $250 a day to a maximum of $10,000.
What, Stout?
I have no issue against what the city would impose a fine or liens of any kind. I know that Joe has not paid his taxes. My intent here is to speak on behalf of those, Officer Siracusa, Mr. Garcia, Mr. Fitzgerald, who've done a tremendous job in helping neighbors like myself address these issues. The only good news that I have is that Joe has moved away and has put the property up for sale. There are complicating matters regarding a personal loan on the property, the back taxes, and code issues. That is left up to the authorities. I have no issue here other than to inform you guys of what the latest that I know of that's improving.
I have a tennis ball going back before you lost the net here. Okay, so the city is looking for the imposition of a fine.
Yes.
Mr. Larson is telling me he's about to acquire the title of the property.
Well, I have limited power of attorney in terms of I did not purchase this property. I recently sold a rental property because of the issues in the neighborhood regarding the homeless, and I could go on for quite a lengthy speech about the Coalition for the Homeless and feeding of the homeless population in the area. What my intent here is to use a realtor who I had sell one of my properties to offer Joe the opportunity, and he has signed a sales agreement, to put the property on the market and sell. He is also not allowed, and as far as I know at this point, because of no running water and no electricity, no one is allowed to be on the property unless they're there to, say, clean the place out or try to sell the property. So there's a sales agreement. That is what we put together as a limited power of attorney, just so if anyone's there, I can call the police and say no one can be here. But my intent is not to purchase or maintain the property. As a good neighbor, if the yard needs to be mowed, and since the realtor is a recent friend of mine, I would aid him in maintaining the property so as just to get this sold and try to get a family in there rather than the criminals that have overtaken the property as of late.
Just for a little more clarity, Mr. Kelger, as you can see on the agenda that this property, it's the same property for number four and number five. And in number five, Mr. Larson here is the witness in the complaint. So as you try and balance out what all is going on here.
He recently gave up the fight and decided to move away.
All right.
I'm hoping this condition remains, that he stays out of town, starts his life somewhere anew, and again that the property becomes habitable or scraped to the earth. Either way would be fine with me.
All right, well, then appreciate your efforts. That having been said, it appears though Mr. is still in noncompliance. Failed to bring the property into compliance by October 2, 2013. I don't hear Mr. Owen or any representative of Mr. Owen saying or suggesting he intends to do anything to the contrary going forward. So that having been said, I will find a respondent to sell $250 per day commencing October 2, 2013 and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance with the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $10,000. Okay. I guess you're going to stay put for 1 second.
Okay.
The next case I have is Joseph L. Owen. you've already explained your role in this matter. So, Mr. Inspector, what say the city with regard to compliance and non-compliance?
Mr. Vakelja, on this case, although we appreciate Mr. Larson's optimism, we're not certain and satisfied necessarily that Mr. Owens won't be back. So we have a preference of asking if you would, we'll give you a factual basis and if you can make a finding of noncompliance and what the effect of what we would call, have in the past called a well fine. Make a finding of noncompliance and now in compliance on case number 5 with the noise complaint.
Well, first off, is somebody going to testify that they're in noncompliance form?
Yes, I'll ask for Officer Cusa to come up and testify as to the circumstances regarding this.
Good morning.
Say the officer.
Just to give you the brief rundown, he was first notified, Mr. Owens was first notified that there was a noise complaint from his property. It wasn't music per se, it was just loud parties all the time, people being disruptive all hours of the night.
Who are these people?
They were urban outdoorsmen and women of the night. No, that he would always say they were his friends, but they were all homeless. They were all just street workers, girls.
Kind of congregated now.
Pretty much.
And Mr. Owens didn't put a lid on anything.
He did not.
So he let it all run rampant. All right, based on the officer's report, I find the respondent being noncompliant. Mr. Owens, I understand from the testimony that I've heard so far, is no longer occupying the premises.
Right.
Ergo, I take it he's in compliance of sorts. So, after having found the respondent, I now find the respondent, after having found the respondent to have been in noncompliance, based on the testimony presented to me, I find that the respondent is now in compliance per se, but will further order that for every future violation, the respondent be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine up to $5,000 per occurrence. Did I say all that correctly?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Larson, did you want to be heard on this matter, too?
I'd love to. I agree with your judgment and assessment of the situation, and I, again, reiterate, I appreciate all the help from all the officers and people of the magistrate and people of the city that have been involved in this. What I would like to add is what I started to state, and I'm not a great public speaker, but we have a growing issue with the homeless population and the use of EBT cards and the convenience stores and the congregation of these people. There is limited, on a daily basis, issues with noise disturbances and nuisance issues, but there is also growing crime as they trade these funds and resources for alcohol and drugs and prostitution amongst each other, and they litter, and they urinate and defecate. When the last thing they do is pay their bills, obviously. The place was out without running water and electricity. But it always had beer, and it always had cigarettes, and it always had prostitutes, and it always had free food from the Coalition for the Homeless. And it goes on, and will continue to go on until and unless we address those issues. The Homeless Coalition is aiding and abetting criminals by feeding them and turning them loose on a daily basis and allowing them just to roam the streets. And the police have a difficult time trying to drive past everyday individuals and discern which one is a criminal and which one is not, but the area is subject to daily vices, and it's a growing problem. And I think that other cities are bringing their homeless and needy people here, just mostly their nuisance people, to the area because we are providing numerous services, including now cell phones and other resources, and all they need is a place to crash for the night and or for a few hours, and then they go do their business. And 144 was one of those places that over the last 2 years became drug dealing, prostitution, and lots of illegal trade in what's referred to as food stamps, because they don't need the food stamps when they've got food down the street. And it's every day.
Well,
and it will continue.
Taking it one step at a time, use that power of attorney to fill out that trespass thing for the police department. Hopefully that'll quiet things down in your neighborhood. You sound eloquent enough to me. Take the rest of it up with the city commission, because I doubt very seriously that you're the only person in this area that shares that sentiment.
No, I'm not.
Good luck to you.
Thank you. Thank you again. Thank you.
Thank you.
Case number 6, Gary F. Zabrowski Estate and U.S. Bank N.A. as trustee.
Mr. Vakelchi, if we can, before we go forward to case number 6, if we can just return briefly to case number 3, the Mayan Ocean Waters LLC.
Mr. Yenema, Mr. Ziegler, come on back up.
The city staff, Mr. Garrett, was able to come up briefly. There was just some apparent miscommunication, and with the short opportunity to review and to follow up with staff, with the rest of the code staff. The seriousness of what we're dealing with in terms of what setting time and the length of time we expect to deal with this matter as a whole, the staff is asking if we can continue this to the next cutoff so we can have an opportunity to sit down and go over the engineering report and discuss and make sure we're all satisfied and agree on where we're going with this project overall. And so if we can have that continuance, we would appreciate it. I spoke to these gentlemen, and they said they'll be okay with that. But
meeting date, not cut off, to the next meeting.
Right, to the next meeting.
And the answer is perhaps. What is the work that's being done now?
Currently, this is Mike.
Just want to make sure the concrete's not falling on anyone's
No,
head.
Sir.
Absolutely.
People aren't leaning up against rusty balconies.
No, sir.
And
the rooms that are
only 6 floors to the pavement below. It seems to me we had a motel where a whole facade at one point fell.
Would you like to see some of the pictures that I have? We don't have those.
I'll take your word for it. Just tell me what work's being done right now and what you're doing to put my concerns
at ease. One thing ownership is...
I'm happy for you in the city to work out whatever you want as far as your own timeline. Well, I'm not here to interfere with that.
If I can, I'd like to just take a moment and introduce myself. I'm a building contractor, certified with the Safe Club since 1986. And I'm a construction project manager. And I have a lot of experience from your side of the bench because I've been seated with the HPB in the city of Sanford for 6 years and now in the CRA. So they hired me basically not only for my ability to bring this project to fruition, but also because I understand the severity of meetings like this and what the city is usually looking for as far as compliance. So they are taking great strides into getting these projects completed with the proper measures and in time. And I want to put you to rest right there, your fears to rest, that no one's in any jeopardy on any of the properties that they own. Again, there are safety barricades. Everything's been inspected to this point. What is safe to enter and what is not safe to enter, those units themselves have been closed off. And nobody can get out anywhere near these balconies.
Very good.
And from underneath.
That's good enough. I assume the city's satisfied as well. I just wanted to hear from myself. Okay. So the request now is that we continue this matter to the November 12th meeting for what purpose? Termination of the compliance date?
Yes, that's where we left off, and that's what we would want, to be able to determine the compliance date, and that'll be us reviewing that engineering report and agreeing with those numbers or discussing it with them if we think we need to do something different than what we see.
All right. Based upon the city's request, the respondent's compliance with the structural engineer's report, the report from the respondent regarding the work that's underway as well as the efforts to secure those areas in need of securing, then I'll go ahead and continue the determination of the compliance date to the November 12, 2013 meeting. Okay. Good luck, y'all.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Gary F. Zabrowski Estate and U.S. Bank N.A. as trustee. Anyone here for the respondent? Not seeing the respondent. What say the city?
City will call Mr. Stinson.
Say, Mr. Stinson.
Good morning. Currently, I have an open case on this property for pretty much the entire property, barring outside storage and overgrowth. This house is vacant. It's been vacant for quite some time. There has been a list pendants filed on it. I've been in contact with property manager, bank manager. We finally got the property registered for the vacant registry. However, my biggest issue is in the rear of the property. There's actually a carport and a detached garage back there in the back, but it's all been crushed by quite a few trees. The back of the house is also in extreme disrepair. The roof is in extreme disrepair. I have been in contact with property managers from the bank and from the vacant registry. The bank representatives assure me that they're just going through the paperwork to pull the proper permits to clear all the stuff in the back. The city would like to keep them motivated. Like I said, there's a lot of hands in this pot, but this is what the house looks like right now. Those pictures came from yesterday. The only change in the property was that there was some outside storage in the driveway, and that's been removed. Outside of that, the property still sits the same way. The city is asking that you find it in non-compliance and give them until the next cutoff to bring the property into compliance.
All right. Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Order the respondent to come into compliance by November 6, 2013. Or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 7, 448 Martin Luther King Trust, dated 9-17-09. Anyone here on behalf of the respondent? Not seeing a respondent, let's say the city.
Once again, this is Inspector for this case is John Stinson. The case is in noncompliance, and ask that you hear from Mr. Stinson.
I guess I opened this case as a complaint call. I've been to this property several times. I've had the supervisor, Mr. Garcia, out there with me as well. The property is occupied. However, according to the utilities department, there's no water service there. There is some kind of power there because they have a meter, fans are running, whatever. But as you can tell from the photographs, the condition of the property is repugnant.
How current are these photos? 10-7.
Yesterday.
Okay, based on our, and how much time to commit compliance?
By the next cutoff.
Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Order the respondent to come into compliance by November 6, 2013, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 8, Navarra Construction Incorporated. Anyone here for the response? Let's see the respondent. What say the city?
This case is being brought for violation of a will fine of a junk vehicle and parking in the yard. The parking issue has been rectified. However, this red Honda was part of the parking issue prior to this point. The will fine was imposed, and they moved that junk vehicle from an illegal parking spot to the driveway. However, it is still a junk vehicle, which was also included in the will fine order. The city is asking to impose.
If I can just get some clarification from the
I want to cost of clarification, too. I want you to look at your order of will fund.
Yeah.
Satisfy you that what transpired constitutes a lot. Well, let me hear argument as far as what's transpired constituting a violation.
Yes.
What you got? Which one you want?
The prior violation was parking in the yard. And that's the clarification that we wanted to make. This will not be, we had a repeat violation, which I guess we're not showing, but the repeat violation was that there was another parking. However, the inspector had them remove it, and it's not what's before you. What's before you today now is the parking on the driveway.
Junk vehicle.
I mean, the junk vehicle, I'm sorry. And that is not a repeat violation. So this would be a first-time review for the magistrate, and we'd have to ask for compliance next cutoff. Unless you want it earlier than that.
Correct.
Yeah.
No.
I believe there might be a picture in your book of the parking in the grass.
Oh, shenanigans.
Is it there?
Oh.
Parking in the grass, 8/24/2013.
Yes. So there would be a basis for a finding for the parking.
It looks like it's that red Chevy right there. Is this, am I looking at this photograph correctly? Is this not, well, you tell me, is that this person's property over there?
Yep. This was a copy of the one that you're reviewing now as well.
Very good. Okay, so we got the verdict when I asked you the relief the city was looking for. Finding that the will fine was violated. So now the question becomes, what relief is the city requesting before I decide what amount to impose for the violation? You can whisper out loud, it really doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that's true. No, I'm going with that one. 100. 100.
That's being generous. Okay. And we will fine the respondent the sum of $100 for the will fine violation. And I would suggest to the city that if this is going to be a persistent problem, and they're already dealing with history, so it must be, you might want to cite the gentleman for parking junk vehicles on the property as well.
Yes.
Now, if the city is satisfied that the parking in yard order qualifies, so be it. I'll leave that up to you.
And I'll just for clarity on the record, Mr. Vakelja, I have had contact with the property owner, or at least the managed property manager was the father of the owner. And they've expressed that they don't intend for this to be happening, and apparently they're not reviewing like an owner ought to make sure it's not happening. So I will follow up with them. So people that.
Well, let me make it simpler here. I would suggest you sign for
that'll do it.
A junk vehicle. Bring it back before me, mm-hmm. and we'll go from there because this object obviously just roams around the neighborhood. And it's just a matter of whether it's in the grass or in the driveway. So let's cover all the bases.
Very good.
Eventually it may go away. All right. And you can let Navarra Construction Inc. know that you were very generous to him because I was going to find $200. But in any event, we'll leave it at that. So you can impress upon them that this is going up progressively if it happens again.
Yes, sir.
And case number 9, John Willard Stevens. Anyone here for the respondent? Yes, sir. If you would please state your name.
John W. Stevens.
Can you raise your right hand, please, sir? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Mr. Stevens, you were cited for not having a permit for the, I assume, construction of a new driveway. Do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
And I find the respondent noncompliant. So let me ask the city, what does Mr. Stevens have to do to come into compliance?
Obtain a permit. The permit, he's already requested a permit, and it's under review. So next cutoff, he probably will be all in shape. He'll just have to pay for it and make sure it's all taken care of by the next cutoff.
All right, Mr. Stevens, anything you want to add?
That's it in a nutshell. It's to obtain the permit.
They tell me you've already applied for the permit. They anticipate you'll get it, and once you get it, then you're in compliance.
Okay.
They're suggesting that all that ought to be accomplished by November 6th.
It should be, yeah.
All right. Having found the respondent in noncompliance, I'll order the respondent to commit to compliance by November 6, 2013, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Scary as that sounds, you just need to make sure that somebody follows through on the permit and that you get it.
I will do that.
And then if you get it, if for some reason the inspector doesn't, I don't know how permits flow around here, see to it that it gets presented to them. All right, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number 10, David Partington.
Good morning, my name is David Partington.
Yes, sir. Already stated your name. If you would please be sworn.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
You're cited for unmaintained landscaping and outside storage. Do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
And I find the respondent in noncompliance. Let me ask the city how much time it should take to come into compliance.
Mr. Vakalji, this is the property at 360 Wilson Avenue. The inspector is John Stinson, and he's informing that it should take next cutoff for this property coming to compliance.
Okay. Mr. Partington, I'm told you ought to be able to have this remedy by November 6th. What do you say?
I think that's doable. I'm trying to figure out what needs doing. I've gotten rid of that is no longer there.
Okay.
That's the entrance into the property. It's about 45 feet from the road. I have tall blooming perennials in the front yard. There's concrete steps. The tenant there seems to enjoy treasure hunting on the roadsides and bringing home various things that they find.
Who's that?
The people that live there.
Is this your property?
It's a rental.
It's a rental.
Okay, well, I've spoken with them about their
apart from junk, so
yeah.
Get with your inspector and have that conversation.
All right.
My point is, you're the one that's going to be on the hook, and you're the one with the contractual relationship with your tenant.
Right.
So you're the one responsible for them. So in any event, I'm sure the inspector would be happy to discuss for you what is or isn't permitted. And like I said. Have any compliance? Have I already done my order yet?
Which inspector is my inspector? Hi.
We found him in non-compliance.
I order the respondent to commit to compliance by November 6, 2013, or be returned to the special magistrate.
Okay.
Consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. So let's make sure we get together with our tenant.
Right.
Let's not have any philosophical debates over what constitutes junk and what constitutes
junk
or what have you.
Right.
Because unfortunately you'll be paying for that dialogue. And so get together with the inspector and he'll be happy to share with you what is or isn't permitted. You in turn convey that to your tenant. But then you need to kind of...
Yes, I've been going over there on weekends and working on it and trying to get it caught up and that kind of thing. I sliced my hand open doing some yard work, so that was stitches and... You know, a little bit of a setback, but I'm doing what I can to get through and, you know, make it happen. All right. Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to take about a 5-minute break, and then when we return, we will be dealing with the miscellaneous business, which I guess is going to be biker design. Okay, let's go ahead and resume. 2-hour meeting. Next matter on the agenda is miscellaneous business, Biker Design, 504 Main Street. Anyone here for the respond?
Yes, good morning, Ms. McGonigal, Diego Handel, and Mr. Roussel.
Is your client here to testify?
Yes.
Mr. Roussel, could you step to the mic, please, and state your name?
Ergun Roussel.
Can you raise your right hand, please?
Sorry.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Ms. McKelter, as the agenda indicates, we're here for the respondent's request for a rehearing. And this case stands for the position that administrative proceedings, and specifically this case is a code enforcement proceeding, does not have a, unless you already have a provision or mechanism for rehearing or reconsideration, then there's no right per se to a rehearing. Now, we have a practice where we've allowed rehearings both in the code board and in I can remember maybe at least once or twice in magistrate. And what we've looked at is the general Roberts rule and said, well, with Roberts rule with a meeting, the next scheduled proceeding would be, or by the end of the proceeding, a person on a prevailing side can ask for a rehearing. Well, obviously, in one sense, it doesn't really work very well with a magistrate. And the nature of the proceedings that we were dealing with, specifically those being the Bike Week Master Plan appellate proceedings, they don't really fit well, even though they were quasi-judicial. They don't fit well in that type of evaluation as it relates to what we've done in the past concerning meetings. What this case tells us is that we still have to recognize that because it is quasi-judicial, that the authority, that being the board or the chair of the board or the magistrate, does have an inherent ability to establish whatever rule or policy they choose or authorize a rehearing on motion if they so elect. So in saying that, what I'm saying is that this case is telling us, in this 50 CA case, that it's still good law, that the rehearing motion of, you know, it deals a lot with whether or not the time is told, but the ultimate point that this case makes as a secondary point is the issue that the there is no matter of right for a rehearing, but nevertheless, a magistrate can grant one if they so elect. Where does what come from?
The magistrate can have one should he so elect.
Well, that's what I'm reading here.
The reason I ask is because, general authority aside, we've got this master plan, we've got this Biketoberfest rules, regulations, we've got a pretty ornate compilation of rules, regulations, requirements that we try to enforce. And I'll be perfectly honest, I'm not inclined to now impose a new de facto rule of procedure that says rehearing is permitted. These things are painful enough the first time we go through them.
And this, the position,
so
I'm sorry.
Is the only thing, before I give Mr. Handel an opportunity to speak here, when you say I have this general overall authority to do what I want, where does that come from? And I know I'm being flippant and exaggerating it, but what's the basis of that?
I understand.
What allows me to craft, if you will, a procedural rule that permits for rehearings in general, so that once I see that, I can then determine whether that would have any application to an issue that has pretty much almost its own body of law as far as the qualifications for these outside activities during bike weeks.
just relying solely on the quote from this case itself, and as we look at the next to the last paragraph under just before the hit note 3 in the case itself at the end, that last paragraph prior to that section, it quotes after citing Taylor v. Department of Professional Regulation, administrative agency exercising its quasi-judicial power has inherent authority to change or modify a final order within reasonable time, but only for the purpose of correcting clerical errors or inadvertent mistakes, and does not allow toll of time as motion for rehearing. So in that sense, that's where it says it, and then they follow up and acknowledge that later on in this ruling, where it says as its final statement in this ruling under the very last sentence, while a lower tribunal may have the power to reconsider an order, the filing of an unauthorized rehearing motion will not toll the time. But they're talking about it when they make the reference consistently to a unauthorized rehearing motion, meaning that it's not authorized by any authority of law or policy that's been established. And I say policy, that's not true. Law or rule that's been established.
Is there something nearby that defines the powers of the special
magistrate? Yes.
All right, why don't you look at that for me while you're doing that? I'll let Diego speak for a while here. Diego, I'm just going to tell you up front, I'm not inclined to consider a rehearing. I'm going to hear you out anyway, and the reason I'm going to hear you out is you and I are both lawyers, and rehearings, as we are accustomed to them, definitely mean there is some changed circumstances. There's some evidence that wasn't previously prevented. Represented, something has happened or occurred in the interim that would compromise or call into question the previous ruling. My point is, it's not just an opportunity to revisit the prior arguments and the prior evidence. So, if your intent here today is to sit there and argue again why Mr. Russell should qualify for this permit on the basis of what he did or didn't do, in the way of keeping his business open, I'm even less inclined to hear that. Now, if there is some new evidence or newly discovered evidence or changed circumstances, you know, as an attorney, I can at least appreciate where you're coming from. He's about to show me the scope of my authority as to whether I even have that latitude. But that having been said, I don't deny anyone an opportunity to speak, so speak.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Mr. McKelja. In brief, Mr. Russell was here previously on his own. His health has not been that good, and his presentation did not include a lot of the elements that should have been presented. We've got the earnings reports, the payroll records for the entire, which were not presented. You know, the factual evidence that they were open.
Being open 250 days.
It shows that they were open throughout the year.
250 days.
Over 250 days. I mean, this is payments for the entire year. Including, there's also sales tax records.
I understand, and I recall from the previous testimony that there were people working on site. But I also recall there was no continuous retail operation on site. And as was explained by the zoning officer for the city of Daytona Beach who testified, that was an important feature. It wasn't just a matter of conducting some online business in a back room, and I'm not trying to be flippant or disparaging. I'm just recalling what I vaguely recall. It was a matter of having your door open to the public and there on the street saying or suggesting we've got retail merchandise here for you to come in and buy at your leisure. And the testimony, as I recall, was not even in dispute that he was not in open in that capacity for 250 days. Because, as I recall, there was something about a tenant, for example, that had up and moved out and the property was vacant for at least 30 days as a result of the tenant alone. So, are you talking now about the retail business that you're suggesting these records would indicate prove 250 days being open, or are you just talking about other businesses that were also being conducted on site?
We're talking about the retail business and the warehouse. They're both housed in the same location. Now, the business that was closed is the one next door. That's the Harley. The Harley left in February of this year, of 2013. So we're just talking about the period regarding after Harley left would be from February to May of this year. Now, this is a business of Akesha that's been operating there for over 10 years. They've had the license every single year for over 10 years. Most recently, for Bike Week, it was approved in November of 2012, showing that they were open the requisite time. My understanding is that, and we've also got an employee that was there during the whole year, less maybe 4 to 5 weeks, both on the retail and the warehouse business. There's a total of 7 to 10 employees that were there throughout the year. There's no internet business. I mean, this is a retail business. There's no wholesale business. So it's, you're talking about retail and warehousing. I believe there was some mention. I've got a letter also from a UPS delivery person that said that deliveries were made there on a daily basis, and the office was open. Deliveries for Bike and Design just about every day, and office is always open and taking deliveries. So there's no question about that. This is a business that's good for the city. It, we're talking about the out.
Assuming all that's true, why wasn't it brought up at the hearing that was scheduled specifically for that purpose?
It probably should have been brought up at the last hearing. Mr. Rosell appeared by himself. I said his health has not been that good. He's been going through some cancer treatment, so perhaps that was the reason. But certainly as soon as we were contacted, we instructed him, let's get the basic records, the tax records, the payroll records. And I believe the city overall may not, at least on a deputy city manager, I spoke to him before, and I believe there's no overall objection, although I understand the staff may have some objections to it. But we're looking at from an overall picture. It's a business that has been compliant, and we're talking about a business that was clearly compliant from in November 2012 for Bike Week, and we're talking about Biketoberfest. If there was some overlap, and I've got the payroll records here, the tax records, which I've offered to share with the city before then. So I think it would certainly serve the interests of the city and certainly Mr. Rosell and the business and the employees. This is a business that employs up to 10 employees on a year-round basis just out of this location. Now, we've got two issues here for two different addresses. And what we're willing to do, Mr. Kelly, at this point is let's waive the one on 504.
Which one is 504?
It's the one next to Ms. Humphrey's jewelry.
It's across from Mikey Love.
Sorry.
Right. On that one, we're certainly willing to, let's waive that one and let's just allow them to proceed.
What's
on
the other one?
777
Main Street.
Old Corbin Building.
Pardon?
Old Corbin Building.
That's the old Corbin Building. That's the main one. Just allow them to proceed on that basis. I think that would be a fair resolution for business purposes. It would serve the city, and it would certainly and I think even according to the city, it was awfully close. I think it was. I think the city said it was, if I understood correctly, about 220 days that they were open. I think the city was an issue of about 30 days, maybe, that they were talking about.
Well, that's what Mr. Rosell acknowledged. Mr. Rosell stated he leased the property and the tenants left approximately 30 days and it was not occupied.
30 days prior to the application, yes,
Right, 30
door
days.
Was closed with the sign on it.
Right, that's correct. For
that
the time,
corrected that.
Right, for the time period of the end of April to the end of May, it was closed. There's no doubt about that. That's a 30-day period. But other than that, I mean, year-round, it's essentially it's open.
Going to the matter at hand, Mr. Vakeljian, fired if Mr. Rosell has some sort of plausible explanation why there is just cause for the noncompliance. Okay. What did you find, Mr. Jackson?
As far as the magistrate's authority, there's 2 points, and I'll provide both of those to you, sir. One is in the
scope of my authority here.
Yeah. One is
wary of the fact that we have all these other regulations, administrative rules, what have you, to come into play.
Right. What I've looked at is the Land Development Code, Article 3, Section 6, I believe it is. That's what it's called. And I gave you the section as well from because it gives us reference to Chapter 162, having all the authority of the board, in addition to those things that are pointed out as far as the authority granted under the code. And so that's referenced in Chapter 162, so I gave you the board and member section of Chapter 162 as well. I believe also provided, I don't see it here, I guess I did provide it to you, the resolution that provided the authority as well.
Okay. All right, let's say the city to Mr. Handel's presentation. As I understand it, he's telling me there actually is evidence that would show they were open as a retail operation for the minimal amount required. I guess that's what I'm hearing, and that it would be a hardship for he not be permitted to, or his client not be allowed to participate in the activity. And that, there you go.
If I may just add one other thing, have the magistrate look at these two documents while he's talking. These are
the payroll records?
Yeah, I've shown that to the council.
Payroll records and this. We've got the employee here that's also willing to testify.
Ms. Vakelja, as to the request, it still sounds much more to be a request for a different strategic approach as opposed to a request to present anything new. I think much of what we, as my recollection and looking at the minutes, much of what was testified to would be supported by payroll records, because the testimony that was presented said that there were employees at the buildings. I think one employee at the building that they refer to,
five oh four,
and the bulk of the employees were over at the 777 address. I think what was discussed at that prior meeting was that those who were at the 777 address were not in the front, they were in the back, they were doing shipping issues, and our inspectors had testified that they frequently went and saw signs that said, "We are in the back," which required them to have to go look for them before they would be able to know that someone was actually operating the business. As I best recollect, the testimony was also that on most of those occasions, lights were off in the front and the door was locked, all suggestive of the business being closed, but for the folks, the people who are in the back. So with that being said, neither the evidence of deliveries from a postal or UPS, nor the fact that people were being paid for their time for being there, would support anything more than what it would have supported in an initial proceeding.
If I may respond, just briefly, I would agree with counsel that most of the employees, as he said, were at 777. There's no shipping that takes place. They can both testify as to that. This is a retail and warehouse operation. There is no wholesaling that goes on. This is a business that's been in place for a long time. This is the main operation on Main Street. 504 is not, and we're not harping. We're not harping on that. I mean, this is the lifeblood of the business. Someone who was ill and continues to be ill for a long period of time. So we're talking about certainly a hardship as far as presentation, as far as what went on. There's no question that during that period in time in April, they were closed during that time period. But other than that, they've been open throughout the year. Mr. Scott Nowicki, the employee who was here, will testify that he there throughout the year, other than perhaps 4 to 5 weeks during the year, and that he's there for the purposes of retail and wholesale sales. This is a well-known business in town, and a business that's done well and contributed a lot to the city. And I think a hardship is clearly shown because
of that. Hardship shown? Show me in the ordinance where I'm supposed to take into consideration a hardship.
Well, I think
the ordinance tells me I'm supposed to look at just cause for the failure to comply. And I mean, if it was a matter of hardship, as far as I'm concerned, y'all can do business on Main Street 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Because as far as I'm concerned, anyone trying to do business in Daytona Beach these days is a patriot. All that having been said, we've got requirements out there. We've got rules. We've got regulations. My job is to enforce them. The only latitude I'm given is to determine whether or not your client presented just cause for his failure to comply. We had policemen testifying. We had inspectors testifying. As I recall, they combed the streets twice a day. I think that was the process or the procedure at that point in time. So it wasn't just a matter of, you know, once in a while they didn't find somebody. This was routine. They testified. They testified under oath. You've shown me some records. Okay, you know, I don't even know that I should be looking at the records because the testimony that was presented failed to establish the just cause, which I was here to determine. Is it a hardship? Absolutely, which is why it pains me to make these kind of calls. The reasons I've already expressed. All that having been said, tell me, in anything that you've told me so far, what you've given me that's new or different that demonstrates just cause. That's assuming I'm even inclined to reconsider it. But you're here, and I let everybody that comes down here speak. Nobody gets turned away. So tell me what is new or different about the just cause analysis that I should take into consideration. I guess what you're telling me is look at the UPS statement, which is contradicted by inspectors and police. Look at the earnings report, which shows me sums paid, doesn't show me hours, doesn't tell me what they're doing, doesn't tell me where they were doing it. What else do you want me to look at?
There's also sales tax records for most of the year that we're able to get through quickly, and I can present that. That's starting, let's see here for a second, from June 2012 on forward. For most months, we were able to get those quickly. And an objection to that.
Sure.
I said we've got Mr. Nowicki here who can also testify that he was there. I think that it's an awfully close call, even according to, you know, Mr. Russell being here without counsel and not in the best physical conditions to present his argument. About, I think my understanding is that the city's position was it was short about 30 days, 220 or so, and I think we can show that it was open considerably longer than that. No question about the time period from the end of April to the end of May. It's 30 days that they were clearly
closed. Well, if you were open, the door was closed with the sign.
Right, the door was closed, but I mean, we'll concede that the time period is for the purposes of that. But beyond that...
Okay. Anything else?
I think that would probably do it. Yeah,
Days prior to bike week.
Yeah, the days prior to bike week, they were certainly open. I mean, I think that the testimony would show that from Mr. Russell, that being that this is the heart of the business operations, that you know they keep this open throughout the year except for brief time periods. They're not able to make money unless it's open. And we're talking about you know a few days that are an issue, and given that there's new evidence that wasn't presented previously regarding you know, payment, time, employees, and so on. I think, you know, there seems to be an overall picture of an employer that's trying to comply and trying to stay open, someone with a history of doing so, most recently in 2012.
It's a tough environment.
And
it's
tough
fair. I absolutely get all of that.
Right. And for...
I tip my hat to anybody that's got the guts to give it a try. I've said that repeatedly.
Right.
All that having been said... I'll be perfectly honest. You haven't presented anything new or different that would cause me to revisit the determination as to the absence of just cause. Whether I'm procedurally permitted to proceed with your rehearing or not, I'm giving it to you. And having heard you out, the testimony that's been presented, with all due respect, in my estimation, or my I'm finding, does not overcome the testimony of the inspectors, does not overcome the testimony of the police, and does not coupled with the admissions by your client as to those dates he stipulated that he was not open. And so with that having been said, I'm denying your motion for rehearing this in both locations. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
And I mean that. Good luck to you.
We can have those.
Thank you. All right, that was the end of our...
No, I'm trying to remember the case that we sent to the code board. We'll send it over. I don't believe we sent it your way.
The article?
Oh, I thought it was a case. Maybe it was an article. But other than that, no, there's nothing else. Yes.
That was like a bar journal.
A bar journal. Okay, well, we'll forward that to Ms. Fekelj as well. Just general information about rulings and all that type of stuff related.
Over.
But there's nothing else, Ms. Fekelj, that I'm aware of.
That having been said, our regular special magistrate proceeding is adjourned.